podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Gags Tandon Show. We've got another special this week. I'm still in Liverpool. I'm still wandering around the streets, you know. I'm not been beaten up yet by any Evertonians, luckily, thankfully. But I've got a couple of reds on. I've got the editor of AnfieldIndex.com, Dan Rhodes. Welcome, Dan, again.
Yeah, I've never been on your show, Gags, so this is a first for me as well.
You know what? Everyone keeps saying that to me. It's a new show. It is a new show because I've been banished from the AI podcast, so I'm only the host under
the
pressure.
Your podcast?
He's banished from his own main show.
I haven't even introduced him yet. He's already ripping the shit out of me. Right, well, I've got two really, really special guests. So you come to Liverpool, you've got to have a podcast with these two boys. Fantastic YouTube channel, Redmen TV. Chris and Paul, welcome to the Gags Tandon Show, mate. Yeah, guys, love your stuff.
Thank you. I'm glad someone does. That's great. Chris did a tremendous visual gag there that will never look come across. We said, oh, great guys, and he looked over his shoulders as if he's looking for someone. I thought it was great.
Podcasting gags are the best gags. The visual podcasting gags.
Just for the people in the room, and only one person of the four.
Or the Skype's best when you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I'd rather like Skype, you know. I don't have to look at any of your fucking faces.
That's amazing, though.
It's got a bit aggressive, isn't it?
Nice way to
this is the Gag Standard Show. Aggressive violence.
I've just been on the transfer show on Redmen TV, and like they treat me so nice. Look at this, I'm kicking their ass. Yeah. It's his fault. Yeah. Chris, I'm pointing at Chris, by the way.
Yeah.
I keep thinking we're still
another visual gag there, guys.
Yes.
Come into our house. Allowed to use our equipment, our space, and this is how we get treated.
It's perfect. Well, welcome, guys. We're going to talk something special actually today. Out of towners. Since there's two out of towners sitting right here, out of towner fans.
Three of Twitter's to be believed.
Aren't you a wolf?
No.
You're called a wolf, though, aren't you?
People call me a wolf. They've stopped now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Why? Tell us that story. Why do they call you a wolf?
I don't know why they call me a wolf, but they call me a wolf. And then there was these people like, you're a wolf and all this. And I walked outside with my phone to take a picture of my purple bin, which proves you're from Liverpool. You've got a purple bin, you live within the city boundaries, right? Yeah. And I had my phone in my hand to take a photo, and I thought, they've won already. What am I doing? I've
exactly.
got up from my couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've lost in life if you're taking pictures of a bin.
So did I put it online? No, but I'm from Liverpool.
The
I
famous.
Don't sound like I'm from anywhere else.
Exactly. We had this conversation before.
We did.
Where's Chris from? Chris Pajak.
You've clear.
Yeah.
Clear.
I don't understand it, but yeah. Look, no, but people want to fill their lives with thinking about where I'm from. Sound.
Yeah. But it's that thing. It's there's nothing, it's weird, there's nothing wrong with being from anywhere other than Liverpool, because lots of people are. The vast majority of people are from places other than Liverpool, let's be honest. Of the 7 billion of us walking the earth, most of those are not from Liverpool. I don't have an L postcode or a purple bin. But it is that, like, I can get called all kinds, but it is one of the it's, you know, it's one of the things that just rankles, because it's like... No, just factually incorrect more than anything else. Like, so no, but it is. It's a slangy insult more than anything else, isn't it? You know what I mean?
I don't even mind. People have said that to me so much on Twitter. You know, you're a Woolder. Why are you doing all these podcasts?
Well, you're not a Woolder. You're from Warrington.
Where does
there you go?
So there what you does go. The word wool mean? Where does it come from?
You got to be from Warrington.
It's woolly back in it. I can't even be asked going into the story. It's so boring. It's untrue. But effectively, if you're from one of the fields. Stroke towns between Liverpool and Manchester. You're a wolf.
There you go.
Right. So talking about in between or not from Liverpool, I'm told you guys are quite passionate about this topic. Mm-hmm. Apparently. So let's start with you, Chris, because you talked to me on WhatsApp about it. So what is the major issue? Do you not have an issue, or is there an issue with out of towner fans from that come to Townfield?
There never is for me. It's about Liverpool fans. Look. Everybody who follows this football club has a connection with this football club, when we're all the same type of people, or the vast majority of us are all the same type of people. You know, if you see something of yourself in a football team that's far away, there's got to be a reason that you connect with them and that people and all that. And it's partly down to the people in the city. So for me, it's actually really nice, because I don't think I could support a team from a place that I didn't like the people.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's actually, as someone from Liverpool, with so many people outside of Liverpool like it, they must like the people and the city and the club and everything. It's a compliment.
And you know what? Before you go on, we've got some good stories, because this week, we're obviously here for a week, guys, doing a Prozone stats course. And everyone that we've met, every Scouser, has been so hospitable and so pleasant and so nice to us. We don't feel any of that nonsense. We've been wearing Anfield and Nick shirts around as well. Yeah. So no one said, "Oh, you, well, what are you wearing? Why you got Liverpool stuff on?" No, nothing at all. And like, you got ripped.
I was having a game of darts in the ship in Mitre the other day.
Which was funny.
And they obviously noticed my accent. And I told them I was supporting. Every single one of their darts team was just constantly ripping me about being a Liverpool fan for Valleyfax. And that's what I love about Liverpool. People, all of them, doesn't matter who you support.
Yeah, and I got stuck in a lift. Well, I wasn't get stuck in a lift. I was outside the Q car park in town, and basically, I got in the lift with an elderly couple, and when I went in, the doors wouldn't shut, so it would shut then open again. So then I stepped out, they went up, they were like waving at me.
Wolves.
But we basically had to go to the second floor to play, because the pay stations were broken. So anyway, I caught up with them upstairs, and they were like, "What's wrong with you? Like, why wasn't Liv working with you?" But it was just so funny. They were just taking the piss. Yeah, and then when we were walking towards the car together, because they parked near me, they were just like, "Well, you know, what are you here for?" And stuff. I said, "I'm here for a course." And said, "Well, hope your course goes really well. Have a lovely evening, you know, fella," and stuff. Just absolutely wonderful people. Everywhere I've gone anyway has been lovely. I actually love the city. And it's the first time I'm getting to spend more than 2 days here. Because sometimes you stay the night and stuff for the game. Normally it's to Anfield and back. So actually, don't even get to see much of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Sometimes before, go to the docks, have a meal. But now actually walking around, travelling around the centre, stuff like that, it's great. It's been brilliant. But I was expecting maybe something controversial from you, Chris. You've
No, I'm
completely out of character.
My dad's Polish.
Yeah.
So there's Wolf heritage, if you will. I mean
from Warrington.
Yeah.
It's mad. Like, and look, I know loads of Liverpool fans. I know loads of Everton fans who are sound. You know, ultimately, football.
I know
football.
Everton fans who are not from the city of Liverpool, which is mad, because they'd have you believe they don't exist.
They do.
You know, you'd have
they
you believe
do.
That Liverpool are the only club that has fans outside of the city limits. But you might say, look, this is the thing, Liverpool's a city of immigrants. You know what I mean? It's a city founded on immigration, you know, with a second Dublin, aren't we, in some regards, like, and all that kind of stuff. But look, my problem's not with whether you're out of town or not, it's whether you're a bellend or not, you know what I mean? No, but this is the thing, you know, because Chris is right, you know, because here's the thing, not everyone who supports Liverpool is amazing, not everyone gets it, but that is not solely limited to whether you were born and bred in Liverpool, because I hear as many knobheads at the match with Scouse accents as not with Scouse accents.
That's a great point.
My only fear with it, whether it's just limited to me, because I can't empathise with people who have a hatred for people who support Liverpool from outside of the city. I don't feel it. I do have a fear, and Chris and I have a conversation, because Chris is big on his NFL, and there's a mutual friend of ours, and it was just a line that really hit home to me, and he was talking about his NFL team move, and he was like, "I'd love to see my NFL franchise move over to England," and I was like, that's the attitude that kills me, because the thing that scares me about it is because of social media. And I think knobheads are exacerbated on social media. Effectively, they're given a much louder voice than they have. My fear is there's loads more Liverpool fans from outside of Liverpool than there are from inside of Liverpool. Yeah. So effectively, if those fans all decided they wanted to, there was a vote, and they decided they all
moved. No referendums.
He's told me this before.
We'll be in the Chinese Super League by 2020.
This is the Brexit phase all over, isn't it? Is that there's more idiots than there are in the Brexit vote than there were, you know. So, but you know, the fear is that you could get people who've never been to Liverpool and have no connection with the city of Liverpool and have no interest other than it's just something they watch on the telly and they get that wound up by. Those people who don't feel the same way that we feel it And I don't mean, again, just from people based in Liverpool, could theoretically, if it was put to a vote, could vote to have Liverpool moved out of Liverpool. And that's like...
I think it's a franchise.
I don't think there's going to be a vote.
No, I know exactly.
Where's your mind to do this?
It's not an exact... Yeah, no. I know it's not like... It's never something that's going to happen, but this is the point. We saw it with
it was literally about 10 minutes after Matt said that about the Raiders, because he was talking about the Raiders moving to London and he'd love it. Yeah. And 10 minutes later, you were talking this.
Imagine being a Raiders fan from is it LA? Oakland.
They've had two.
But exactly. But yeah, you know. And then all of a sudden, your team's playing across the Atlantic. And again, it's not likely to happen with footy. But again, we've seen so many things where go back to like the Sakhan and Rafa Benitez. Yeah. A lot of that was based on people's perception of Rafa Benitez online. It wasn't about the people on the streets. Loads of people in Liverpool had enough of them, but there was no, you know, it was deemed to be more than it was because of that. And as I say, it's not a Liverpool or non-Liverpool thing. Effectively, it still boils down to the voices of
you've had MK Dons moved as well.
Well, this is it's not totally outside the realms of
Liverpool will never move.
No, of course not.
But you had some interesting points on the way here when we were in the car about these, you know, the out of town, because obviously, don't get me wrong, there are some Bellends on Twitter, you know, like you said, it was yourself.
Why did you point to Chris when you said that?
No, I thought he said it. I thought he said it. I don't insult my guests.
No, I bet.
points to gags.
who do feel like that a local fan has more rights to the club than anybody else does. They say that they spend more money at the club than anybody else does. But I just find that, without any proof of that or whatever, I just find it really hard to digest because, you know, for example, those that are travelling in from London, let's say, because, I mean, I'm coming from Wolverhampton, so just say when you're travelling in, there's time, there's cost, there's everything, and it's almost every game.
Yeah.
You know, so that we are investing too. Not only that, we're investing loads of time of our lives as well.
It's hard to fathom, I think, for there's a group of people in Liverpool who would probably live within a spitting distance of the ground and they've probably never left Liverpool.
Right.
And they feel a disenfranchisement with the club because of rising ticket prices and whatever.
I totally understand that.
And there is probably just that thing of it's hard for someone to, when you're there, that and you're in that little bubble, it's hard to fathom how someone else could. Because the same answer is like, just support Wolves. I said, well, no, it doesn't work like that because your football club fucking chooses you more than you choose your football club a lot of the time. So, but again, when you live in a bit of a sheltered environment and you're surrounded by similar people from similar background and what have you, it's hard to see beyond your own borders to some extent. So I think that's where it comes from. But fundamentally, I do agree. I think Liverpool needs to be... It should be accessible,
you know, to locals, 100%.
You know what I mean? There should be, because that's the core of what it is. Liverpool and Liverpool being what it is, and the character of the club. Everything you were saying about walking around the city of Liverpool, it's built on those people. It's built on those personalities, and that would be. There's not many cities like Liverpool.
No, I don't think
in that regard. You know, so to lose that connection would be a severe loss. But again, keep coming back to it. It's your personality traits. You don't have to be from Liverpool to share those personality traits.
No, not at all.
You know,
I totally. I mean, the interesting point was that you could go and support Wolves and stuff. And I've been called a glory hunter because, like, you know, online. So they find out that I've got this podcast channel or this website, and they're like, "Why aren't you supporting Wolves? You glory
you've
hunter."
Chosen a
and, and, I just, and, I just, and I just said, "What fucking glory, you bastard!"
Like, I started supporting Liverpool the last time, the year after they won the league, and they haven't won the league since.
Yeah, what glory?
You were a true glory hunter then. You were there because they won the league.
Nine and ten year old. What do you do? You don't understand these morals and our geography.
Yeah. I think we should be giving credit for sticking with it more than anything.
My stepdad was a Halifax Town fan and took me down to the Share a couple of times and I watched it. I thought this is terrible. I don't want to spot these. This is absolutely the worst thing I've ever done. And then you got to watch Liverpool and my mates were all screaming and I'm going, what a team. And then thankfully, because doing politics and stuff with the stuff of the Thatcher and Liverpool and the politics of the city, that's you kind of identify with that. And then you come here and you meet people and going, it's just, we met each other.
That's it. What was, we didn't even go back to that, what you were saying in the car.
I was just saying exactly the same as what Chris said. You've got different groups of people from all around the world, and there was always bellends within all the different groups. You can't go out of towns and knobheads, walls and knobheads, people who travel from different parts of the world and knobheads, people on Twitter and knobheads. You get knobheads everywhere in all different kinds of groups. It's as simple as that.
I think the problem is...
And if you judge one group based on one person, well, exactly, then you're an idiot.
There's guilt by association, isn't there? Because people it's that become a catch-all phrase, like out the outer towners, wolves, day trippers, all that kind of stuff. And the problem is that you see there's a world of difference between someone for whom Liverpool is absolutely a critical part of their lives. You know, people who are getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning to watch Liverpool games, which I'll be perfectly honest, I've said before, I would not do.
Yeah, exactly.
If Liverpool games were at 2 in the morning, I would not watch Liverpool. I would not be the Liverpool fan that I am if that was how accessible it was. But you've got people who go, right, I'm going to get to go to Liverpool once in my life. Mm. So I'm going to come over. I'm going to take the Thomas Cook package because I can just get a ticket and I can get me travel and I can get all that. So I'll pay whatever it takes to get in, and then they'll go to the games. Now on the surface, that's very similar to someone who's coming to Liverpool because they want to come to Liverpool on holiday, and they go, what can I do while I'm in Liverpool in my town? Well, I can go to the Beatles tour, I can go on the big wheel at the docks, and I can go and catch a game of the football.
And
Liverpool, how much will a ticket cost?
The football is the issue.
Exactly. £200, whatever. Oh, I'll go in clubs. Oh, this shirt looks very smart. I'll wear this and I'll deck myself up. On the surface, those two people look very similar.
Mm.
But there's a world of difference, and this is where the nuance is lost in arguments like this.
Because I was about to come to that.
True people who understand what they're talking about and have the depth of emotional understanding as well are able to look at that and go, there's someone who's there because they love it. Because let's be honest, they're the ones who tear up and make a shit ton of noise and jump up and down. And then you've got the ones who are there just to take the photo. Just
anybody.
To say, that's going on my Instagram.
Across any club
Ross Holiday.
Who says, the football, I'm going to watch the football.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
What? You can't say it. But don't you have that at every ground? Tuesday. At every club, there will be a tourist. That's a tourist, what you're giving. Let's just quote it. There will be a tourist, surely. Yeah, there'll be a tourist for United, Arsenal.
Don't get me wrong.
You know.
Fulham,
when I go to Barcelona.
Absolutely. Me too, yeah.
I'm not a Barcelona fan, but I'm going there.
Yeah, I'm going to the game.
There's a game on.
I'm going to the football.
You going there?
Yeah, you are going.
But you wouldn't say that, would you?
Yeah.
I'm going to football.
You wouldn't understand me for a start. It's been Spanish.
Fool. Yeah. But we've all been guilty of that. Most of us who watch football, big football fans, would be
we
guilty.
We went to see Liechtenstein versus Northern Ireland in a European qualifier. Liechtenstein, me and him.
Yeah.
4-1.
Do you know what? I'd still try to make noise. I went to Barcelona. I still tried to make noise. I was in the away fan with Real Madrid fans. Yeah,
that's right. You went to watch Barcelona and sat in the away end with Real Madrid fans.
There was no tickets. I wasn't a stag. There was like 8 of us on this stag, and the only tickets I could get for them were in the away end.
Please tell me you had a half and half scarf on. You'd have been dead.
He is brilliant for segues, because one thing I wanted to talk about was the complaints about the half and half. So there's sometimes like big games like Dortmund, for example. Someone gets their kid a half and half scarf because it's an occasion, an event. Yeah. Would you even belittle the guy who's buying his kid one?
Yeah.
Really?
I would.
Go on then.
Well, what are you teaching him? It doesn't matter what it is. Get a program if you want a souvenir.
No, but what about they get a program as well, dude?
I've got no problem with them buying the scarf as long as they put it in the bag.
Brilliant point.
Yeah, if it's going on the wall, when you get home, then let it do that. But it's the
Liverpool Watford, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you've printed that. You've made a lot of scarves there, mate. You think that many people are going to buy Liverpool Watford after that?
But no, I specifically made the point, by the way, of the kid, because I can't see an adult seriously doing that, by the way.
No, loads of them.
No, but you're dead right. There's an education issue there, isn't there? You know what I mean? How are you raising your child? Go and get them a Liverpool scarf. Get them a Liverpool scarf.
Get them a Dortmund scarf. Whatever. If you want a Dortmund scarf as well.
Exactly. Yes.
But I agree. I don't... You know, the half an hour scarf has got its place, absolutely, in that, as we say, if it's just a souvenir, something that you pin on your wall alongside
loads don't
of
wave it
and you can say, you know, but, you know, like footballers take home shirts of opposition fans, yep, and they put them on display in their houses, you know, yeah, the fans, yeah. Swapping. I bet Saka would do that at half time. Absolutely. But again, play some shit and they put other teams' jerseys up on displays in their hours and all that, but that's what we've got as fans. That's all we've got from that is your programme and you've got your scarf. If you want to get that to mark the occasion, yeah, go for it. But really, Liverpool, Man United, you know, again, I don't even think you'd want that up.
No chance.
But. Because you've effectively got something of Man United up on your wall, yeah, to be honest, which you wouldn't have.
You're wrong if you get a Liverpool Man United.
Exactly.
On both sides.
But the people who get them and then they're holding them up, and you're like, what are you, put that away.
Yeah.
Put that away right
nearby.
Now.
You're like,
what are you thinking? Yeah.
And look, you're all idiots anyway if you're doing that. Yeah. But you're being ripped off because I'm sure they're a lot cheaper after the game.
A smart man buys it after the game, this bag and goes home.
Buys the stall for the same price it costs to buy the first one.
I think that's probably a good place to end this. Well, actually,
just the last one on that. Sorry,
no, just the topic. Sorry,
on that though. Like Liverpool, let's say Liverpool Barcelona friendly last summer. Is the fact that that's not a problem getting something like picking up one of them? Is that a problem because it says how far we've fallen? Yeah. Because we should have a problem with Barcelona and we should have a problem with Dortmund and we should have a problem
Real point. When we played Real Madrid, I, you know, strongly thought about having a Liverpool Real Madrid scarf when we were in Madrid, by the way, not Liverpool.
How that's different, I don't know, by the way.
Yeah. Because you wanted to mark the occasion.
I wanted to mark the occasion, and then I gave me head a wobble. I said, what are you doing?
That's the best advice anyone's given on this show. So
don't do that. And then I couldn't find the stall after the game.
So you went back for it.
I gave me head a wobble, and I think Paul maybe said something in my ear as well.
I think you both made good points. I think there's reservations in certain aspects of what you said as well. The big topic, I think, out of it was the local fans getting access. I do really feel bad about the raising of the ticket prices aspect. That I feel, I don't like that myself. You know, I actually think, how can you have a Liverpool without Liverpool fans? From Liverpool, you have to have, that has to be there as well. It needs to be everything, a mix of everything.
I wish that, like, the health and safety would stop this happening, I guess. But if you had a section of the cop that was pay on the gate, and you just said, if you want a ticket, you'll learn how early you've got to queue up for it, and then you put, and the tickets are, they're the £9 tickets or whatever, and you say, listen, if you want to be there, you know, because the thing is, the people who come from all over the country or whatever, you'd probably find those guys are the ones who were there first in the queue, not the Scouse lads.
You're not allowed to be,
But it opens it up, I think, to the local Scouse lads or girls and all that, and say, That's what you've got to beat. If you're desperate to support your football club, there you go. That's how you go and do it. And I think that would answer a lot of those kind of criticisms.
Hopefully, they score for that as well. Bigger attendance. We've got a bigger ground these days. There must be room for 2,000 free tickets. Not free tickets, but
how
much do you want it? Get there four hours early.
You've been saying this for years. You've had that idea a long time, and you know, it, generally you bring that idea up when we're talking about how to make the atmosphere better. Because if there was a stand where people are queued for 8, 9, 10 hours,
they'll be rabid.
Imagine.
Yeah. Not only that, I think there's. I made this point on an article for TIA. They asked me to do. This is Anfield, by the way. That I think schools, local schools as well. There's so many clubs in the world that give free tickets to certain schools every week. You know, just 50 tickets. Because you know what it is,
you're quite good at doing that.
I've not heard anything like that though.
They do a lot, like the people in the community do a lot.
That's how you build the young fan, right? The big thing that you worry about is the young local fan as well, getting them in. And there's no problem with it. Access to tickets is the key. I mean, get this man in front of Tony Barrett, someone.
The problem we've got, of course, is that I had an argument with a lad on Twitter years ago when he was saying, like,
no way, you had an argument on Twitter.
Shock. I know. But he was saying, like, yo, like, it started off on the lines of, like, oh, you're a shit, wearer. You wear football, you're the kit. I was like, yeah, I like it, thanks. And he was like, I was like, what do you wear? And he went, well, I can't, like, it was a teenage scout. Well, I can't afford to go to the game, so I don't get to go because I'm being priced out and blah, blah, blah. And I went, well, listen, hypothetically, what clothes do you wear and what would you wear? And he come back and he was like, 110s,
by the way.
Honestly, like, this is probably before 110s it became popular again, but he was like, oh, I got Moncler, and he listed all the brands, and I had no idea what I have to wear, so I went and Googled them and worked out how much they cost, and I was like, mate, if you're paying £200 for a fucking jacket, then you're better off going and wearing a football shirt, and you can afford to go to the match, mate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's the problem. You know, some people are genuinely being priced out, but I love the fact that there's probably loads of kids who are walking around who are spending the clothes on, spending the money on Bosch clobber rather than, you know, spending every penny they've got to go and watch the Reds, which of course should be cheaper, but, you know, that's a point for a different day.
I think so as well. Okay, I think, thank you so much on that. Next topic is about players that nobody can agree on. People hate them, people love them. I want to know what you guys feel about a certain list. So the first one, I think he's let's start with Dejan Lovren.
That's a good place
because it's the best place to start. I mean, you guys, by the way, tweeted an AITV video about Dejan Lovren charging away.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to make a big deal about it, but the whole interview was that somebody had clipped it, and the whole interview was actually someone asking him a load of questions about centre-backs and stuff, and asked him, asked him about Carrefour, because he was played in Sydney.
Yeah.
Asked him about Carrefour, how did you like playing with him? And he loved it. He said it was great. How did you like playing with Matip? And he goes, it was great, but we're both injured too much. And then he said, oh, next season, if you're both fit, are you looking forward to renewing that partnership? And you know what he said? It depends on which new players turn up. That's when the question was asked about Virgil van Dijk. Any journalist of their worth would ask, what about Virgil van Dijk? And that's when he stormed off. So just wanted to put to bed any misconceptions about bad journalism.
Any centre-half result as well would walk off.
Yeah. No, I don't think
he's not going to go, great player, I hope he replaces me.
John Terry did it at Carrick's testimonial post-match. It was Gabriel Byrne, I think, was interviewing, and he went, and you could see him leading up to the question. Terry knows he's leading up to it. You can see this air building between them. And just asked what next season, he was like, nah, you're all right. And he gets, like, live TV.
Actually didn't see any problem with his reaction. I think it was blown way out of proportion.
But when you clip something up off the internet,
it makes it look bad. And it went viral, like it went onto the Mirror, the Echo. It was you that tried it.
No, I'm joking. Sorry, he's thinking about something else.
Yeah, it's very easy to take things out of context and then create a mountain out of a molehill.
But
that's Twitter's job.
That's exactly what it did. But Lovren, Chris, you haven't spoke for ages, it feels like. Man, we've just like been throughout the pod. Lovren, what are your thoughts on him? And can you see both sides of this story, or are you firmly in one side?
Don't really love him, don't really hate him anymore. I think I really, really disliked him when he first signed for Liverpool. I think there was too many mistakes, and he could come back and have 10 games and I'd wipe the slate clean and go, he's all right again here, he's done well here. I think it was about the third, fourth or fifth time I'd wipe the slate clean. And I said, I'm really done with him, I cannot deal
need
with
a new
him.
Slate.
Yeah, I need a new slate, I need a new centre back, I cannot deal with him. And then last season I wiped the slate clean again. I don't know what, he's got more lives than a frigging cat, hasn't he? But last season, brilliant when he played. You know, people give him loads of stick. He makes the odd mistake. What centre-back doesn't? There is so few world-class centre-halves nowadays that if he's our third choice, I'm dead happy with that because it's a much better place than we were 5 years ago.
I think the key is saying third choice.
I think Dejan's got a lot of really good strengths. I think he's amazing in the air. I think he's one of the best centre-backs when you've got a really physical striker in front of him, so he can just go into aerial duels with him. I think Dejan's issue, and I think a lot of other clubs have noticed it, is on the turn and concentration at set pieces. I think he switches off easily. I think he loses his man easily on set pieces. I think he's turned quite easily. I think he loses the position with the centre-half next to him. But it seems to have all the attributes to be a quality centre back.
Yeah, let's not
from the concentration.
You ignore all the decent games, don't you? Where we keep clean sheets or he plays well with Matip, but then people say no, it's Matip.
His record this season with Matip is superb.
Yeah,
I'd put that more down to Matip, but I've had about seven sheet cleaning with Lovren. That sounds terrible.
I mean, we analyse, we watch the games. We watch the games back multiple times for under pressure, and we have to analyse
it.
There's
so much nonsense spoke about Lovren, isn't there?
It goes too far.
There's so much bias that's... When he came, people are just ranting about him. People have just got massive prejudice. You've got to analyse his individual games, and he makes mistakes and he loses concentration, but he's got his strengths. Mm. And I think Klopp sees that. But I don't think he's good enough for us to win the league with him in the side.
No, there's some amazing Dan Kennett stats that he did on Under Pressure, where he said... since he's like joined the team, we've had the worst. We've conceded so many goals. The worst defence in 50 years, you know, for three, four years.
The thing is, with him, you know, our defence under Klopp has improved. We have conceded less goals this year.
Yeah, of course. This year, much better.
Dejan Lovren was a part of that. Our defence as a team isn't good enough. And I think that's been that case for a long time. Now, we're very much, you know, we like to put the pressure on from the front and stuff. But when you get past that midfield, our centre-backs aren't good in space, and they seem to be left in a hell of a lot of space.
They're exposed a lot, aren't they?
Which is because we play so many players further forward, because we're always in control of the game. We're struggling to break sides down sometimes, which means our full-backs come up. We then are exposed at the back with two centre-backs playing against two dead quick lads normally running down the channels and stuff. At this point, Dejan Lovren is out of his depth. But there's not many centre-backs that can go out into full-back positions and look dead comfortable. Come away with the ball and start passing the ball off.
Get this boy under pressure, man.
It's true that Virgil van Dijk has got the pace. He seems good on the turn. I guess that's why they're after him. I guess that's why the money is being talked about. But that's what you need. People who anticipate, people who can cover distance, people who can mark space. I think that's Lovren's issue. But he's got his strengths. If you're playing Man City or Barcelona or Real Madrid, and they're coming at you all the time, and he's playing like he was at Southampton, where you've got two compact lines, and you've got people in front of you, he could just head and kick balls away all day.
Yeah, he's very good at heading and kicking balls away, because he's a good centre half, isn't he? In that regard, and you don't get to a Premier League level if you can't do the fundamentals. No. I just wonder whether he's. Someone told maybe just Brendan just said too much to him about his vision for him as a centre half. Like, told him he was a wonderful technician.
Kill him up like Maldini. He believed it.
You're a wonderful technician. You know, just too many times, and it's just gone to his head, because he does. Like, and Chris and I cover this a few times. You say, when you tell Dejan Lovren, just defend, mate. Defend. Don't tit about. There's moments where he's booting it into touch. Last season, you're like, get in, Dejan. But it's still, the moments where he's worst is when he tries to be a better defender than he is. He gets ideas above his station. He leaves himself exposed.
He's on show, not up, yeah.
Well, exactly, you know, and I, in many respects, nice. I think he's probably fallen foul of the fact that we had Skrtel for too long, you know, because he's an upgrade on Martin Skrtel, but I see the similarities. I think, you know, Steele, who presents one of our shows, he borrowed this from an American expression. I think it was NFL, but like, just good enough to get you beat. And I think Mignolet's been like that as well at some points. But he's like, he's fine, isn't he? And he's okay enough that you kind of, you feel like you're a prick for going on about him too much. Because it's good. There's good things here, but there is, in a roundabout way, you do look at it and go, who's been there? You know, who is the main culprit? You know, if you're changing all the other parts and it's still broken, then logic would follow that it has to be, some of the blame has to fall on his shoulders a little bit. I think that's where we are.
And someone being willing to pay 65, 70 million for a centre-back to come in, and the first guy to go out is going to be Lovren, tells you how we really, really want a centre-back with quality.
But it also tells you we pay 25 million for him. It tells you what the going rate is for, because if 25 million is not good enough.
Ouch. Palace, West Brom, Stoke, Lovren would be ace for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Seaball,
it's worth 30 million.
What Brundish says, seaball, whack ball.
If you've got, like he was at Southampton, that's what, you know, we've watched him when he was at Southampton, quality defender. Because he was getting protected and he wasn't being asked to mark space.
We don't do that.
But there are games when we do it, and he was superb. We kept Man City out.
Yeah, yeah, because we played deeper.
Our record against the top six is unbelievable. Mm. Deja Lovren's played a part in that, because then we have to drop deeper against those sides, especially when we score an early goal.
Mm.
Against Leicester, or a team like that with a couple of quick strikers, and we're playing a high defensive line, he's just going to get exposed, because he's going to get turned, and any manager worth the salt, Allardyce,
even quoted it in a fucking press conference afterwards, didn't he? Told us what his weaknesses were. You've got Lover and it's just dead easy to turn. Oh, cheers,
Sam. Fat Sam, and then he fucking left. Anyway.
Right. Yeah, Billy Big Shot.
Isn't it, bastard? Right, anyway, let's move on from Lover. Emre Can, Paul, we'll start with you first.
He's another example of these players. I don't think there's anyone that I genuinely hate in Liverpool.
It's not hate. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you don't hate.
I'm not. There is totally polarized on many footballers at Liverpool. Oh my God,
but they're fans that are really against. No, what's he playing in the team for?
But I do. If there's a median line where I tend to fall on most footballers these days, there are players where I orbit around the centre a little bit, you know, it's a tight orbit to the centre, but Lovren's what a great one of them. As Chris says, I have moments where I think, oh my God, what are you? But then I'll go, oh, yeah, you're very, very solid centre. And Emre Can's exactly the same as that. I spent the first half of last season going,
that's it.
That was it. Good analysis.
You know, why aren't you, and I'm going, why aren't you the guy who finished the season before?
He was superb.
Bossing our midfield. He looked like he'd totally grown into the role. And he so much so that we threw him back into the Villarreal game at Anfield when he was injured. He'd come back from the injury, like miraculous recovery, and he was great. And I want that guy. And then he was just crap, wasn't he, for the vast majority of last season? And then he got to the point where we were all like, well, you can stick your contract talks up your arse, son, because you're not performing. And then he got a run of games and he was really good and he scored the goal of the season
he turned around at the end of the season, didn't he? Mm-hmm. This one,
yeah. I think he's got talent.
Would you agree with that?
I had some real reservations about Can early on. I was at a game and I was sat in, I think it was the paddock at the time, really close to the pitch, and I was really unimpressed with his petulance and the way that he spoke to other players on the pitch. I was really dead to the front.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard this before.
Hear people. And the way that he was acting and speaking to other players, and this was at the time when he was playing pretty well and people were talking about him as a future captain. And I was like, nah, I don't see any of that type of stuff at all in his game. But over the last sort of couple of years, I think what I've seen from him is that he doesn't hide who he is. I think you can be a bit of a prick sometimes as long as you're consistent with that. The way that Suarez was a bit of a prick on the field. If everybody knows that. Now, this is a guy who was 20 years old when he came into us, I think he was, wasn't he? Maybe he was above his station for how old he was. But I think he truly believed in himself. And I think now when he starts to perform like that, he still acts in the same way. Although it comes off a lot differently, a lot better now, because he's proved his worth to the side a lot of times. You know, back end of the Europa League season when we got to the final there 2 years ago, he was unbelievable. Back end of last season, he was brilliant. What are the things that tie those two together? He was playing in the six both times. This is a young kid who's played centre half, who's played right back, who's played in the six, who's played box to box midfield, who's played on the left, who's played on the right of that midfield. He's never had a consistent position, but when he's played consistently in one position, it's been the six, and he's been great. Too often we're too quick to judge players. He's probably not had 30 games in the same position over his entire career yet, and yet we judge him like he's been in the side for 7 years, and I think that's a bit pretty unfair. And I think my first call on him was totally wrong, and I think now I can see that he's going to be a great footballer for Liverpool.
That petulance thing's interesting, is it? Because for the longest time I loved that. It happened occasionally when you get a Liverpool side when someone misplaces a pass and they clap, and you know they go,
but
unlucky, good effort, yeah. And the side needs that, I think. But you also do need to have someone who's setting the standards, who is annoyed when things go tits up, because you don't want an easy ride. And that's something Man United have always had. They've always had narcs in their team, and it's like, whether it was Roy Keane, and Rooney carried a little bit of it, and even
Roy Keane was a head narc, and I think he handed it on, didn't he?
You know, they've always had
Herrera.
And this is the thing. And when we're at our best, you've got to have someone you don't want to piss off, so you perform at your highest possible level. Now, again, there's a balance to be struck with it, but I think, as you say, what Chris is saying today is spot on, is that I think top players have that in them. They are balanced. You know, the top players are the vast majority of
while
top players.
While they're playing.
And it's all like, yeah, I mean, it's all very good seeing Ronaldinho fucking beam and smile as he's waltzing through teams. That's a very, very rare exception, isn't it? Top level players are just horrible human beings because they exist to win.
Yeah.
And that spills out over the top. And having that is a bit, I think it's a good quality.
We praised it a lot at the end of the season that he was being, you know, snide on the pitch and breaking up attacks.
Talking
to
refs, getting on the kids.
Yeah, you know, he was actually trying to be a leader, which, you know what, is another thing that we've been lacking. And we've praised Emre Can plenty on Under Pressure.
Was he injured as well? I thought he was injured at the...
He was injured at the start of the season, which he was played through an injury. I think Klopp even came out and said on at the end of this, towards the end of the season, that, you know, I was playing him. He's been going through a calf injury, is it, or thigh injury, one of them, and finally he's over it now.
Well, he was playing with that injury.
He was playing with that for a while. But we were talking leaders, so the next guy we're going to talk about is the captain of the club, and oh my God, does this guy get some stick? Oh dear me. Let's go with you, Paul, again, first on this.
We're talking about Jordan Henderson, of
That's
course.
Right.
It's like, we say this all the time, there's got to be one at the club at any given time that people, it becomes, it's shorthand. It's a conversation about football you can have in a groan. You know, and we did it a little bit before with Emre Can, and he spent a spell as that player. Toward the back end of the season, it became Nathaniel Klein with people as well. Just, you know, like, oh, Klein. Oh, I know. And people know exactly what you mean when you say it, because it's just, you know...
That was orgasmic.
It becomes a very angry orgasm.
Come face as orgasm. I didn't expect this when I came to
it. It's more of a makeup orgasm than a happy one. But Jordan Henderson is... He kind of took over the mantle from Lucas to some extent as this guy who... You know, like, you know, who people just unilaterally were like, he's not good enough to play for Liverpool. And the problem is, of course, is that he's another one of those players early on, you needed to watch him and you needed to pay direct attention to the things that he was doing and look for positives at times, because he did struggle when he
first came to the
side.
It was hard,
For me,
right mid.
Well, exactly, but there was the moment, and I remember it was when we played Blackburn, and it was the day off my son was born, or the day after. And the one where Brad Jones ended up in goal and Donny got sent off, and Henderson played right back, right wing back, right mid,
all
right
together,
wing.
Yeah.
He played our right hand side in that game, and he was his engine. He was just tremendous. And any doubts I'd had were totally like washed away by that performance, because I thought, I can see why you'd get him. He just falls foul of the fact that he came through with a crop of really mediocre English internationals. Guilty by association.
Downing, Carroll.
The Downings and Adams of this world. But also, you know, he's Liverpool's Tom Cleverley, those kind of shouts, which are not helpful. And he's coming into a team that had Steven Gerrard. You know, 3 years before, we'd had Xabi Alonso, Steven Gerrard, Javier Mascherano, and it's very difficult, as you say, to associate a Liverpool midfield of Lucas Adam and Jordan Henderson and not feel disappointed by that regardless.
That's a reasonable reaction.
Yeah, exactly. That's a natural reaction to those situations, isn't it? I think... I realise I'm talking a lot, because I'm quite passionate about the Jordan Henderson thing. I think that a stigma is a very hard thing to shake, isn't it, ultimately?
Yeah.
And he's much like Lucas in that regard. He's been his shaking off of that tag. I think we're at a point now where no one can say he's not good enough to play for Liverpool. No one can say he's not a good player. And I think most people would even say he's deserved of the captain's armbands, because we've seen some of the performances put in. But just when he's about to have that season that totally washes away all the doubts, his injuries flared up again.
2 years in a row.
And he's out. And that's exactly what happened to Lucas as well. He was having that great spell, and then he got injured in the League Cup, and that was, you know, he'd never quite reached the heights again.
We've done a bit of analysis in the last week or so. You know, when we did the last Under Pressure for the league, the season review, a bit late, but we did it. And I decided to analyse all of the attacking presses, so the presses that led to shots and goals. And unbelievably, well, we didn't actually see it coming. And
it was against
Henderson.
What we thought was going to happen. Yeah. We all assumed it was going to be Firmino.
And Jordan Henderson was the guy that is leading in terms of the most frequent guy who initiates the press that leads to a shot in the team. But now we're on this course this week, at Prozone or at Prozone and Stats, and they actually do collect official pressing stuff. Mm-hmm. And by chance, they were showing us a database that they wouldn't show.
The best in the league.
And he's the best in the league.
Wow.
He's the best in high press in the league. And Liverpool have two or three in the top 10.
He was the best high press in the league.
Firmino.
No, Shan's the second best in the team.
Wow.
And then it was Firmino. Then it was Lallana. Then it was Coutinho, Mane. And I mean, that's crazy. But the best in the league, guys.
Yeah.
This is official as well. Great stats.
And the passing, you know, when if you cut it off where he got injured, he was 200, 300 passes more. He was averaging something like 85, 86 passes a game, which is absolutely unheard of from a centre midfielder over a portion of a season. You're talking Xabi Alonso is about...
For us.
Xabi Alonso is about the only other guy who would do that. And even when he was... That was more when he left us, I think, than when he was actually at Liverpool. You know, not to talk too much on it, but he's boss. We win more games with him in. Our win percentage goes up. You know, I think it's up to over 60%, which is good. When you look at a manager's win rate, you know, I think Rafa's for his entire Liverpool career was like 56, and we were pretty good under Rafa.
Yeah, just about.
Joe Henderson in the side this season.
There's an understatement.
60-odd percent. Yeah. And we're just worse without him. You know, we move the ball slower. He not only... I didn't know that he was the best in the league at setting the press or anything like that, but when he gets the ball, he decides where we play. He picks what side we're going to play, and Liverpool play better with him there, and that's ultimately what it's about for me.
I think the Chelsea goal as well helped. Look, that's a kind of a goal of the season, isn't it? And on another day, I think it was Randolph pulled out save of the season to keep him from having another one against West Ham as well. They're the moments that when you're a top-class player, you need to have just a couple more of, because ultimately that's a great stat, but your average fan,
they ain't going to know.
Fuck, they just want to hold things up and go, yeah, look.
But remember, he played in the sixth role, so he's the deepest midfielder as well, and gets those numbers.
That's the crazy thing. I also think he's suffered, obviously, from taking over from Gerrard as captain. And this is the cliche going about, but he got sent off in the 13-14 season. Some people think that was more responsible for us losing the league than Gerrard's slip. Yeah. Because you've got Gerrard, who was struggling that who was struggling in that position towards the end of his career, but was phenomenal in terms of what he was contributing.
On the ball.
But that was because other people were protecting him
in
front. Rodgers was playing a version of a high press, but not even the same level as Klopp's. But so... You've got that influence there, and then he comes into a season where we've lost Suarez and Sturridge doesn't play, and people kind of attribute our feelings towards our captain at the time or the fact that our legend has retired and we've got Henderson who's replaced him, who's not anywhere near on the level of charisma as Gerrard, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, he's just not a world class footballer, is he?
I don't know if he's a world class leader.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's a very good leader, isn't he? I think you see him on the pitch and how he conducts himself and all that kind of stuff, because he's grown up captain.
That's what I mean. I think he's growing
as well.
Yeah, exactly. But Jordan Henderson's just I've said this in the past, and I still think it remains true. I think having a captain like Jordan Henderson is actually shows that we're a better football team than having Gerrard as a captain. And that now this. Seem counterintuitive, so let me explain a touch. Is that it's the best clubs in the world often, you know, you can have a perfect blend of the best football team and the best player in the world's your captain as well, but that's very, very rare.
Yeah,
what happens at clubs at a tier or two below is that the captain's armband is a bargaining tool to keep your best players at the club. Steven Gerrard was given the captain's armband to try and keep him at Liverpool, and I think a lot of clubs do that, you know, and I think it shows a little bit of limited ambition and whatever. There's better men for the job. A well-run club with a great set of players and the right ethos gives the best man for the job the captain's armband and can afford to do that. And with Jordan Henderson is the best man for the job
at the moment
when fit and available to beat Liverpool.
That's my only criticism of Henderson is the injuries, and it seems to be not an injury you can recover from. It's more a long-term problem that he's going to have to manage, and that concerns me.
Was there anything you wanted to add for Henderson? I think you wanted to get in.
Boss, and he's better than me at FIFA as well.
That's true. Okay, last one.
You've got to explain that.
beat me on FIFA. I did get a little bit.
How many people have played Jordan Henderson on FIFA?
I don't know, but I subbed him at half time. So I was playing against him. I wasn't impressed.
I love that kind of.
That is great banter. That is brilliant.
He loved it.
But you know
he
what?
Did love it. He really likes me.
Wait, we're running out of time and I'm keeping you guys late. So, last player. Again, very, very divided. Adam Lallana.
He's divided. Are you on crack? I don't think.
He's incredible.
Yeah, I don't.
There are a lot of people don't you see the hatred for Adam Lallana?
I don't really go on Twitter that much, to be honest. It's just,
nor me.
Just annoys me.
There is loads.
I still do a lot, and I don't see it anymore. I've saw it, and maybe it would exist in a residual form from his first season or what have you. Mm. But since Klopp's come in, I haven't seen it. It's gone. Any criticism, it's gone to the point where, you know, the guy's been linked with Barcelona and no one went,
when?
Don't be ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, like January's been linked with Barcelona. I don't think anyone read that and went.
Oh, wow.
I think a lot of people went. Actually, that kind of, I could kind of see that. You know, we actually did it on our podcast this week. We mentioned Lallana and saying that. And after the first, Klopp's first season, I was really impressed. He totally won me over, and I was like, "Great, that's the." But he's reached the ceiling. We can improve upon that. And then last season, he was just even better. You know, he was arriving late in the box.
I thought the first half of the season was good. I think he did a reverse to Jean, you know, because he got injured towards in the middle, and I didn't think he was as good towards the end of the season.
He fell foul of the season, and I think you could say this of so many of our players. Something we all discussed on the transfer show on our website before is when you take one player out, you move a player to another position.
Yeah.
I think Firmino fell foul of that. Lallana fell foul of that just as much. Emre Can fell foul of it a little bit as well. But then when you go to judge a player on the full course of a season, you go, well, he didn't have a great season. Lallana playing right wing, I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, I thought we all thought we were past that. We'd all seen his new role. When you,
he's not a winger, is it?
No, not at all.
When you're swapping it for Sadio Mane, and you're like, people are twatting balls down the line for, and you go, come on,
sprint after that, Adam.
Yeah, good luck with that.
When your greatest attribute is your touch.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you were talking about, Lovren's your third choice centre back. So he's the first one that goes out when you get a quality centre back signing. We're looking at now a new era, I hope, if Coutinho stays, which it looks like he is. Mm-hmm. That the way Klopp was talking about him and looking like how he's going to keep him was kind of dangling that carrot to him that you're going to be starting to play in midfield. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people say Lallana and Coutinho in a central midfield isn't going to work. So that's why you have a link to someone like a Naby Keita, an Oxlade-Chamberlain. But would he work with him? But what we're trying to say here is one flair player in the three,
yeah,
which it looks like what we're going to do. What would be your thoughts on that?
I don't know what formation we're going to play. I think
people are
assuming we're playing 4-3-3
again.
If we are playing 4-3-3 against the likes of Burnley, and I've got no problem with playing Coutinho and Lallana.
Great point.
Absolutely no problem whatsoever.
That's a really good point.
How much defending are you going to be doing in the middle?
None.
They don't even want the ball.
give good players the ball high up the pitch. Having Adam Lallana, having Phil Coutinho with Salah, Mane, Firmino. Yes, please. Yes,
okay,
yes,
that's another good point. How do you fit a Mane in anything other than a 4-3-3? Mane and Salah in anything other than a 4-3-3?
4-2-3-1. And you play Coutinho or Lallana in the team?
Yeah, Chano Henderson only.
Right, got you.
4-4-2, old school. Left and right wingers.
Carroll and Crouch up front.
4-2-3-1, we haven't done since the Europa League season.
I always find people get really focused on an individual formation, and that's not how it works, because you've got in possession, out of possession, totally different thing. Our front players, our attacking players, seem to have a really clever understanding of an intelligent movement.
We saw
that with Sturridge when he came in the last
couple
of games.
I'm just going on
Mane's movement, Coutinho's movement, Firmino just drags people away. That's the key. Yeah. Not your structured formation when you start the game. It's what they do within it.
Yeah, but I'm just going on what has happened in the last season. That's all.
It's probably worth looking at it. Phil, there's nothing for me to suggest whether we talk about moving Coutinho or not. Adam Lallana is Klopp's main man. Absolutely, the guy loves him to bits. The guy,
I don't think you can doubt that either.
I think he's the best English player he's ever seen. Yeah.
He's so standard. They could both footed Englishman. What foot is he? You know, but no, but he
does love him. He does. There's no doubt about that.
He totally and utterly, as you say, he
loves Milner
too. Tempo in the forward, in the, you know, for the forward play, yeah, for the forward play for Liverpool.
We won't go there.
No, I'm like Milner, but no, he loves that. But the point is what, is he 29 now? If not, he will be very soon.
Yeah,
you know, he's just coming out of his peak years, or he's still maybe still at his peak years, but that won't last forever.
No,
you know, and again, do you want, you'd like to get to a situation where it's more horses for courses, like Chris says. Maybe you play both of them in some games. Maybe you decide that Phil Coutinho's got a good habit of sticking worldies in against the Stokes of this, you know, of this world. So you actually, people would naturally assume that Phil Coutinho's playing in your grade A games, and look, he performs in them too. You know, Man United in the Europa League, Chelsea being,
he's got a great record at Man City, he loves scoring against City.
Exactly. You know. But Adam Lallana, the Champions League could be perfectly suited for Adam Lallana.
Coutinho could quite easily just drop it at left wing. Again, like he's done.
Oh, God, there's no problem with it.
You know, and then Lallana's in the centre with Wijnaldum. Well,
there's plenty of evidence to suggest that Liverpool, when Coutinho plays in a front three, has been fantastic, so there's no problem.
I always think Lallana's judged by, he played in a season where our attacking game was so bad. We didn't have a striker. We didn't have any movement in front of him. We had Benteke's fucking movement. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
So we were giving the ball to Lallana, and he was taking a touch and a touch and a close turn, and he didn't know what to do. Klopp comes in, and suddenly he's going, right, I'll give it 1-2, because he's going to go, and then I'm going to go, and then we've got the movement, and I can take it off either foot. And
He's got better, so much better.
It's all about what your manager asks you to do, and if you've got the players around you to suit you. So at Southampton, he had those players, they built a team around him, comes to us, and we expect him to supply Benteke. He's going
to
struggle.
To close it, I do still think he'll be the first reserve type player. That'll happen. If we do go for, you know, like these big signings, if we do end up getting them, I think that will happen. I just think we can't, my personal preference, or what I think Klopp would do in terms of that first 11 to play against that first game of the season, it would be a Coutinho in central midfield, Salah, Mane, Firmino with a Henderson and a Jan either side.
See, I think you'd see Salah on the bench before you saw Coutinho or Lallana on the bench.
Yeah, I think Lallana stays in the team before anyone else comes in.
Before Salah comes in, 40 million, really.
Well, Salah's value.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, listen, I'll be treating you, bro.
TBI, which you like to. What's Adam Lallana with? You know, by he's a £40 million player.
We signed him for 25 3 years ago. Similar value now.
I think his value's gone down. Anyway,
see what I mean?
We're going to argue all night.
This is what happens when you start by dissing your guests at the beginning.
I'm rounded on it. They're bullying me, people. Yeah. I think it's the best time to quit while I'm ahead. Actually, I'm behind. But I just want to say a massive thank you to Paul and Chris. I'm not thanking
this guy.
I've been with him all week. But guys, thank you so much for welcoming. Thank you very much for welcoming us.
He pretends to be a host. This is why I've never been on my gag show, because he knows
I'm gagged. Thanks for welcoming us here, man. We've had a great time. The show was good. Please do go and check out. I'm sure everyone that's listening it has already subscribed to you guys on Redman TV at YouTube. So please just
go and pick. Go and pay the money to watch Redman TV and watch the Toffee TV Pro Evolution games before the derbies.
Yeah,
the funniest things you'll ever see.
Yeah. And I love the ones. What did you do with the ball? What's it called?
The old school games.
Some retro football.
This is some of the worst sport football games you've ever seen.
No, when he's going around the penalty spot. When
Dizzy Pens.
Dizzy Pens are the most.
No.
Oh, my word. Vector graphic games.
Google it.
You've never seen anything.
If you've never seen Chris's Dizzy Pens, go and have a watch, because they're brilliant. No, but anyway,
I get dizzy very easily.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
Anyway, thank you so much.
No problem.
Appreciate it. And guys, we'll see. I'm here all week. I'm doing a show pretty much every day, and there'll be more Gag Standing shows coming to you very, very
soon.
I'm
here all the week. Who do you think you are, Tommy Cooper?
Shut up.
Social Podcast Network.